A moral miracle, therefore, is an effect produced by God which exceeds all the native powers of the human will. The will remains free, but God exercises such influence over the will as enables a man to perform humanly impossible wonders of moral virtue. Once Christian countries like our own cannot be converted by what we may call ordinary divine grace. Let me repeat. Once Christian countries like our own cannot be converted by what may be called ordinary divine grace. Only a miraculous outpouring of God's mercy can bring so many millions estranged from their Creator back to their spiritual senses and restore them to friendship with the Almighty. One miraculous communication of Our Lady after another, and especially of Our Lady at Fatima, pleading, urging people to be converted, to return to the God from whom they've strayed. Can we have any doubt that among the nations that have departed, oh, how far they have departed from the God who made them, among the nations that desperately need conversion, is our own beloved United States. That is why Jesus Christ, the Savior, living in our midst in the Blessed Sacrament, is the hope which I've capitalized in my manuscript, is the hope on whom we must rely. He knows, how well He knows, the ravages of sin that have penetrated our culture. Whoever speaks of sin anymore? When one learned theologian after another, may God forgive them, speak now what they call the fundamental option, clever language. The only mortal sin they claim is the habit of what the Church for centuries has called mortal sins. Or the habit of abortion, or the habit of adultery, or the habit of perjury can become, if you please, a mortal sin. During his first pilgrimage to the United States and in Chicago, from which I am now speaking, the Holy Father pleaded with the American hierarchy, pleaded with them. In the name of God, he told the bishops, will you please, I beg you, bring your people back to the confessional. Your churches, I'm told, on Sunday mornings, just about everybody goes to communion. But I understand, in so many dioceses, almost no one goes to confession. And the reason is obvious. Why should they? When, in the large diocese of our country, scores of priests insist on giving general absolution and refuse to hear the private personal confessions of the people, we are talking about our nation being deluged by sin. Believe me, I'm not using exaggerated language. Given the massive plague of sin, no ordinary power can convert a country that is highest judiciary and now its highest executive powers has elevated the crime of murder to the dignity of a national virtue. Nothing less than the power of the Almighty must be obtained to move the mountains of stubborn pride and lust and cruelty and hypocrisy that have come to characterize the American culture in our day. Where else can we obtain this tremendous power to change criminals into humble servants of God? And some of these criminals are sitting in high places in our government. Where do you get the power? Where else? But where divine omnipotence is available to those who believe that what Jesus told the people 2,000 years ago is still true today, said our Lord. Amen, I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. This is the key to unlocking the infinite power of God. Faith. Faith in what? Faith in what? Faith in the real presence of Jesus Christ, now on earth, in the Holy Eucharist. Why prayer before the Blessed Sacrament is so powerful. All that we've said so far was a prelude to my principal message to you in this conference. What is the message? The single greatest need in the world today as a practice of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. How can we say this? Logically, we have seen how the conversion of our nation calls for an outpouring of miraculous power from God. Christ promised to move mountains are the words of a person who believes. So we conclude there is no greater profession of faith than during prayer before the Holy Eucharist. Let me repeat. There is no greater profession of faith possible for a human being to make here on earth than during prayer before the Holy Eucharist. So he asks, why should prayer before Christ and the Blessed Sacrament be so powerful in obtaining miracles of conversion? Why? Because it is prayer that is animated by extraordinary faith. First, animated by faith in the Incarnation. The most basic reason why prayer before the Blessed Sacrament is so powerful is because it is prayer rising from faith in the cardinal mystery of Christianity. What is that? Faith in the Incarnation. When we pray before the Eucharist, we profess to believe that God took on human flesh and blood from His Virgin Mother. We profess to believe that the infinite Creator of heaven and earth humbled Himself to become a speechless child. We profess to believe that whenever Christ spoke in human words, it was God Himself in human form who preached the Sermon on the Mount. We profess to believe that when Christ wept over unrepentant Jerusalem, it was God shedding human tears. We believe that when Christ bled to death on the first Good Friday, it was God shedding human blood so that we might be spared the fires of hell. All of this we believe as we pray before the Blessed Sacrament, either exposed on the altar or reserved in the tabernacle. We return to our question. Why is prayer before the Blessed Sacrament so potent in tapping the resources of omnipotence? Because it is the prayer of faith in the real presence. Remember what happened in Palestine when Jesus foretold His institution of the Eucharist? They would give His own body to eat and blood to drink. Not just some of the bystanders, but many of His own disciples left Him. They complained, "This is intolerable language." They bitterly complained and walked away. And by now millions have walked away. There is some Latin that every self-respecting Catholic should know. Like what? Like the words of St. Thomas Aquinas in his famous hymn, Tantum Ergo. Says Thomas, "Praest et fides supplementum sensuum defectui." In Latin, in English, "Let faith supply for the defect of the senses." What we see with our bodily senses looks like bread, But faith tells us it is really Jesus Christ, the living God, with the living flesh and blood and a pulsating human heart. We believe. And our prayer, therefore, before the Blessed Sacrament, how I like to say this, is a prayer of deep, deep, deep faith. We go on. We are asking ourselves why prayer before the Blessed Sacrament is so powerful in working miracles. And here, the miracle of moving mountains of stubborn, proud, lustful human beings to return back to the God from whom they have left. Grace channeled to the humanity of Christ. This, we may say, is the capstone reason why prayer before the Holy Eucharist is so effective in converting sinners. It is because such prayer professes faith in Christ's humanity as the channel of all the grace to the human race. What are we saying? We are saying that such prayer is an unspoken expression of faith in the mystery of God's communication of grace. Lord, I beg that I will be clear, because so much depends on our clear understanding of this mystery of our faith. All grace, we believe, comes from God to us. But all grace comes from God through the humanity of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat. All grace comes from God to us. But all grace comes from God through the humanity of Jesus Christ. All through his visible ministry on earth, Jesus conferred his blessings as God, but he did so through his humanity as man. He spoke with human lips. He touched with human hands. He told the wind to be quiet and dead persons to rise from the grave by using his voice. He assured the repentant thief on the cross that paradise would be his that very day. All this Jesus said in human words. Recall the episode in the Gospel of St. Mark. A woman had been hemorrhaging for a dozen years, and no doctor was helping her. She finally decided, if only I could touch the hem of his garments, I'll be cured. So she pushed her way through the crowd and managed to touch Jesus' clothes. She was cured at that moment. Immediately, St. Mark observes, Christ was aware that power had gone out from him. So he turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? When the frightened woman admitted what she had done, the Savior praised her. My daughter, he said, faith has restored you to health. All through the Gospels, the humanity of Christ was the instrument of great power that went out from him to work signs and wonders never before witnessed on earth. But these signs and wonders were, they were conditional. The condition was that Christ's contemporaries had to believe. The same holds true in our day. There is no miracle so great, and no miracle is greater than the conversion of sinners, provided we believe. 46 years of the priesthood have taught me many things. I share this with you. Believe, have deep faith in Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist, and he will, I repeat, he will bring back to his heart those who are estranged from him, no matter how deeply immersed in sin they now may be. That is why we can say, and say with complete security, the single most powerful means on earth for the conversion of America is for Catholic Americans to mobilize a crusade of prayer before the Holy Eucharist for the conversion of our beloved nation. I have a short concluding prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, present on our altars in the sacrament of your love, we beg you to restore to your friendship the multitude of wayward sheep wandering in darkness and the shadow of death. We ask you, our Eucharistic Lord, to have mercy on so many persons who are in danger of losing their souls. By the blood you shed for them on Calvary, grant them the humility to repent, so that by repenting they will merit your reconciliation here on earth and eternal salvation in the world to come. Amen. And thank you for listening.